Hello, listeners. It's Robert Elkier here, and I'm delighted to be talking with my lifelong friend and musical colleague, Joe Alessi, principal trombone of the New York Philharmonic. Joe and I grew up in the same town, Santa Fe, California, and I studied with his dad, Joseph Alessi Sr. And as I'm just a couple years older than Joe, we were in school together, and we played in the same bands, orchestras, jazz bands. We even had a jazz combo in high school we played together. Anyways, everybody knew that Joe was destined for greatness when he joined the high school stage band while still in the seventh grade. But I don't want to get into that. I'm jumping ahead too far. In this interview, this
I never thought that. But keep going.
That's, by the way, listeners, that's Joe. He didn't think he was destined for greatness, but we knew he was. But he was also destined for modesty, as you just heard. Anyways, in this interview, this is a biographical interview. I'm not a trombonist. I'm not technically oriented. We're not going to be talking about slide positions in Greece. This is biographical. I plan to ask Joe all about his early years, starting with the little trombones that were probably hanging above his crib. That's a joke. If there was anything hanging there, they were trumpets, probably. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce and welcome the one and only Joseph Alessi. How you doing, Joe?
Da, 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 da. Oh, sorry.
Was that the Tonight Show
well,
theme?
Well, first of all, you introduced yourself as Robert, but I'm just going to, if you don't mind, listeners, I'm just going to call him Bob. So that's, I cannot call him Robert. So, but.
A good point. Absolutely.
Good. Okay.
We were Joe and Bob. In fact, you were Joey, but we're not going to go there.
Well, you already did, Bob, so you have to erase that. You can edit that out.
Okay, listeners, I'll edit that out.
Okay, good.
So,
all right,
so anyway, yes. So Joe, let's start at the beginning. Now, you were born into a brass family. Tell us a little bit about your dad and your granddad.
Well, the first recollections of my father being a brass player, I remember around maybe 3 or 4 years old. I know that's almost hard to imagine, but remember him singing in this funny penguin outfit, and I thought that was the funniest thing. He had the tails on, and this was when he was in the he would go off to the San Francisco Opera. So I remember that, and I remember him warming up, and there's actually some pictures of us together. I think I must have been somewhere around 4 years old, where he's warming up on his trumpet, and I have one of those cardboard aluminum foil tubes. When you finish with the aluminum foil, you're left with a cardboard tube, and I remember he would give me one of those, and I would copy and sing, you know, his warm-ups.
So, yeah, you were singing into the tube trying to sound like a trumpet.
Right.
Did your dad see you doing that and go, this kid wants to play the trumpet?
Well, that's how he got the idea of starting me on a musical instrument. But I would also finger, too. I would do the fingerings along with him.
Well, let's back up even farther here, though. Your granddad taught at the Manhattan School of Music in New York. Is that correct?
Right, but I never met him, though. I don't remember him at all because I think I met him, but I was probably, you know, pretty
very young
at that point. Yeah, he died tragically. You know, he did teach at Manhattan School of Music and taught a lot of good trumpet players here in New York, one of them being Joe Wilder, the great jazz trumpet player. I just heard him on the WBGO a couple days ago, and beautiful player.
Oh.
And he's still alive, so we see each other from time to time, and he tells me stories.
Wow.
He told me where the old Manhattan School of Music was. And I've never been over there. It's on the east side. Manhattan School of Music right now is up around 116th or 20th, somewhere up there. And So that used to be the old Juilliard building, but the original Manhattan School used to be on the east side.
Right. And, so this guy has This guy has a memory of the original Manhattan School of Music.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think we're going to go over there together. Maybe we're going to have lunch over there.
Oh, that's great.
Wasn't
his dad also a brass player? Or who came over from Italy?
My great grandfather, which was his father, this would be my grandfather's father, was, I'm told, he was a trombonist. But I think he played in the town band, that kind of thing. And my father, I asked him, really, I mean, what did he sound like? And he says, well, nobody really liked to hear him.
Your dad heard his granddad play the trombone?
Possibly. I'm not really sure about this, but he did say that, I think maybe his father said it was pretty bad, you know.
Yeah.
But
So the tradition of excellence began with your granddad. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think he was the one who he played in a town band in Sicily, which is in Sambuca. I actually went there with my father and mother. But
So he was the one who came over.
He was the one who came over, and when he came over, he had to come over not as a trumpet player, because he, back then, there was a sort of a family thing or a connection. There was sort of a connection, either a friend would sponsor you, and that's how he got. He was told to go to the United States and make enough money to bring his own mother and father over.
But did he immediately try to get a music
No. His assigned job. That's, in other words, you're assigned a job. Right. You have to know where you're going to live. You have to know where you're going to work, and the procedure was you come over and look for work. It was sort of you have to start
right.
with a particular connection. Mm-hmm. So his connection was somehow, I don't know how that connection was made, but he had to start as a barber's assistant. And so he worked in a barber shop, and I'm not sure what he did there, but I understand he hated the job, and he really didn't like working there.
That was probably the turn of the century, probably like 1900, would you say?
I'm going to say maybe a little bit before that. My father was born in 1915,
right.
So it must have been before that, like late 1895, 1890, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I have a lot of documentation about that stuff, but at any rate, the story I'm told is that he was really despondent about this job. He did not care for it, and he was walking along the Brooklyn Bridge. They settled in Brooklyn, like a lot of the immigrants back then, and he sat on a park bench, contemplating what he was going to do next, and he really missed playing, because back home he was a cornet soloist with the town band, and became a fine trumpet player. So, and he, lo and behold, a musician friend of his walked by who was also from Sicily, and they started talking in Italian, and my grandfather asked him, listen, is there a way to get some work? I'd love to start playing. And he said, sure, I got a lot of connections. And so eventually, shortly after that, he became cornet soloist in the Rialto Theater. And I may post it on the website, or maybe give you a copy, Bob, but I have an original copy of a program from the Rialto Theater, which is on Broadway. It's not there anymore, but and has his it has him listed as soloist playing a thing called La Paloma. Now, I don't know what that is, but it's a cornet solo.
Well, was the heyday of Herbert L. Clark. So there were bands and there were cornet soloists. That's what you went and heard, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Coming up shortly, I don't know if you know this magazine, The Instrumentalist, but
sure.
they're going to post some, in the magazine, they're going to post some photos of my grandfather. And the one that I have that is most amazing photo is him walking on Broadway with his trumpet, and there's these trolley cars going by with the old lanterns on Broadway.
Yep.
And he's walking with a friend, looks like he's walking with a violinist or something. But it's probably when he was working at the Rialto Theater.
Sure.
And it's and the picture is sort of from taken from above. I don't know, like maybe from a building out a window and looking down on the street at these guys.
Mm.
And it's just an amazing photo.
Oh, it's one of those great New York moments, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, I often wonder, you know, walking around New York, said, gee, my grandfather was probably walking around here with his truck.
Exactly. So now your Alessi Publications has a picture of your grandfather at a drafting table composing. Was he also a composer?
Well, he composed a lot of exercises for his students technical studies, theme and variations he did. There's a characteristic studies book that he did that Carl Fischer will be publishing at some point, and my brother will edit that book. So he's also a trumpet player. So
this leads me to my next question. I'm sure our listeners are seeing now that we're talking a whole heck of a lot about the trumpet and not much about the trombone. And that's because your grandfather and your father were trumpet players, and you yourself wanted to be a trumpet player as well. And
I think a lot of trombone players started on valve instruments. I mean, there's quite a few out there that I know. And a lot of guys I talk to either started on euphonium. Mm-hmm. Or because, if somebody started a brass instrument at a very young age, the cornet or the trumpet was the most, you know, easy to handle.
Sure.
Out of all the instruments. And I know a few guys who played trumpet first and then converted.
Right.
Bone. So it's not uncommon.
Okay, this is a good place for us to take a break, because this is where I want to go next. I want to get into just exactly how that turned took place in your early career. We're going to take a little break here.
There's a dog food commercial now, I think. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. We're going to run an ad for Alpo. I got Edvin
right,
Gmann, spirit of Edvin Gmann here.
Right.
We're going to take a little break, and if you want to tell our listeners that if you want to download this interview for a podcast, you can do so at roberteljker.com, roberteljker.com. We'll be right back. Thank you very much.